This coming Saturday, we have our final 2019 Re3 mission team, which is going to be heading out, and they're going to be going to Guatemala. We have 8 folks from Re3 that are going to be going there. They're going to be working for the first time within our church. We're going to be working for the first time with Carolyn's Promise. And so what I want us to do this morning is just to kind of pray for those folks. And I know most of them are here this morning, I think we're missing a couple. But if you're going on this Guatemala mission trip and you're leaving Saturday, would you just stand up so we can kind of see who you guys are? Right, let's give them a round of applause. Yes, we have Tammy Rumfeld, who's our fearless leader on the trip. Yes, and Jerry and Bill Van Brunt, Kirsten and Sheila Smith, Megan Durham, and then James and Corinne Dickinson are also going, and they couldn't be here this morning, but I'm assuming they're going to show up Saturday. We'll see. But we do have 8 going to Guatemala, and this is incredible. And with this 8, I was kind of figuring everything up. We have almost 50 people that have done a mission trip this year from Project Re3, which is pretty incredible. That's a round of applause. That's huge. And for a community our size, for literally a third to go on a mission trip in one calendar year is pretty impressive. And so that's a testimony to you guys catching the vision and the heart of what Isaiah 58 is all about and what our heartbeat is, just going out and giving the love of Christ to all the corners of the earth. And so I want to pray for you guys. And as you guys are kind of looking around at these folks, if you would just kind of pray for them also and kind of take a mental snapshot of who's going on this trip. And we're going to be praying for you guys this week as you prepare, and definitely next week as you're in Guatemala. So let's pray for our team right now. Lord, we thank you so much for this amazing men and women who are taking much more than a week of their life. They've taken months to help raise funds for this trip, to plan for this trip, to figure out maybe what it is that you would have them to do in Guatemala. And the truth is, they may get down there and you may have something else in store for them. So Lord, we pray right now that this week will be a week of peace, a week that is smooth from conflict, things that may steal their attention, that this will be a week, Lord, that they can start preparing their hearts and their minds and their souls for what you would have them to do. That God, that on Saturday morning when they fly out at 6 a.m., when most of us may be just getting up or not even thinking about getting up, they're already gonna be on a plane. We pray for safety. We pray for a smooth flight. We pray that when they hit the ground in Guatemala next Saturday afternoon, that God, that you have something ready for them that is much bigger than they ever could have imagined. Lord, we pray for them. We pray for endurance. We pray for patience. We pray for peace. We pray for strength. But most of all, Lord, we pray that this team will be the light that they need to be to the people that they need to be, the orphans that they meet, the women that feel like they've been abandoned, to bring hope to the hopeless, Lord. Let them see and let them understand that they are agents of hope and agents of love next week as they travel to Guatemala. Lord, we are proud of them. They are inspiring. And Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunities that you give each and every one of us to serve in some way, shape, or form, whether it's supporting this team through prayers, through finances, or maybe physically going, Lord. Thank you so much. And we pray all these things in your holy name. Amen. Thank you, guys. And we are doing sign-ups already for next year's trips. We have 10 that have already signed up for Jamaica, which is absolutely incredible. That'll be our biggest team that we've taken down there yet. We're getting ready to start sign-ups for Belize, which is our brand new trip that we're introducing next year. And then, of course, we'll have our youth trip going on. And we're actually staying local this time. And we're partnering with some ministries in Winston. And we're going to be staying in Winston-Salem, Forsyth County area for a whole week next summer, just serving people in our own backyards. And so we have some really cool trips. And so maybe it's the time for you to start praying. You know, where God would have you go. And we've kind of left the fall open. We don't have anything planned for the fall because we're just letting it come to us. You know, what God kind of lands at our doorstep, and we'll just kind of jump on that opportunity if it's the Lord's will. And so maybe there's some place for you in 2020. So start praying now for that clarity. But we are going to wrap up our series. We started the series a few weeks ago, and as we said, we thought what better time of the year to talk about monsters and aliens than the time that of the year where everywhere you turn, there's monsters and aliens. You walk into stores, and there's, you know, things going on with candy and decorations and costumes and all of that kind of thing. You turn on TV, and every night there's some type of scary movie or something. So it's kind of front and center on our brains, but we didn't want to talk about just the fictional monsters. We didn't want to talk about the things that Hollywood or pop culture creates. We wanted to talk about the things that were real to us, and how the Bible describes monsters, and how the Bible describes aliens in spiritual terms and in the scriptures. And the verse that we've been using is the same verse we're going to use today. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. It says this, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens," and that's us. We are aliens in this world. This is not our home. Our home is eternity. Our home is heaven. Our home is with the Lord. But while we're here on this earth, we are recognized as aliens. "The dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul." So what attacks aliens? What attacks us? It's monsters. We are at war. And that's what we've been talking about. And so we tried to identify four monsters. Today's the fourth, but we've identified four monsters that we believe attacks the heart, attacks the souls. That as we, no matter where we're at in life, no matter, you know, how old we are, or what period of life that we're in, or stage of life, or what anything at all, that these monsters are going to attack each and every one of us, maybe even on a daily basis. The first week we talked about guilt and the guilt monster. The thing that kind of follows us around from our past. And what guilt says, what the guilt monster wants us to believe about ourselves is that I owe you. That there's something that has gone on in our lives. That there's something that we've done, that we carry around with us. That there's this burden, this monster that's always there lurking in the dark, reminding us of the things that we said or did that has harmed someone else on this planet. And that guilt carries it around. That guilt monster follows us around. And it says, I owe you. And we constantly carry that guilt and that burden. And the only way to defeat this guilt monster, and we talked about this. Every monster kind of has a weakness. If you watch movies, you know this. But for Dracula, it's the wooden stake to the heart. Wolfman is that silver bullet. So all of these monsters have something that will defeat them. And the thing that will defeat the guilt monster, the only thing that will defeat the guilt monster is confession. Going to that person just simply saying, I'm sorry. Man, I screwed up. That when we're able to be able to kind of swallow that pride and just go and say, you know what? I messed up big time. To go to God and say, God, I know that I messed up. And if we're able to communicate with them physically still, to be able to say, I know that I messed up. That is the only way that we're going to find this restoration in our life and to remove the guilt from our life is simply saying, I'm sorry. So guilt says, I owe you. We talked the next week about the anger monster. Anger says, you owe me. Anger says you have done something in your life and in my life that has harmed me or hurt me or have offended me in some way, and I carry around this anger. I carry around this grudge, this thing, this bitterness in my heart. And the only thing that can kill this monster is forgiveness. It's saying, you know what? You don't owe me anymore. I'm not saying what you did is right. I'm not saying what you did, that you're off the hook for it, that you know, hey, it's no big deal because it was a big deal because it hurt me, it offended me, or it may have hurt my family or someone I loved. But you know what? I'm not going to let my anger for you rule my life anymore. I am letting it go because I'm not going to let you have control over me anymore. And I forgive you. You don't owe me anything. That's between you and God. And we let that go. And when we let go with that forgiveness, that anger monster shrinks dramatically. Last week, Timmy did a great job of talking about our third monster. And that's the monster of greed. What greed says, if guilt says, I owe you, and if anger says, you owe me, then what greed says is, I owe me. Like, I deserve this, right? Like, this is what I want. Like I want more of this. And the only thing that can kill the greed in our heart is giving it away, is generosity. That is it. Confession kills guilt, just like forgiveness kills anger, and generosity kills greed. It's not mine. I'm here to give it away. Because we are not owners of anything in this world. We are simply managers. God has given it to us, so who are we to store it all? It is for us to give it away. And the more that we give it away, our greed vanishes. So now we're here with this last monster. And if you're I don't know, video game fans, if you like playing video games, I think this monster is considered the boss, right? I mean, he's the one. He's the thing that we've built up to. This may be the worst out of all four because this is the one that lurks inside of our heart that maybe no one else can see. People might be able to see, you know, you kind of feel depressed or whatever, that guilty look on your face. People can always see anger inside of you. They might even be able to see greed by what you're collecting in life. But this thing that lives inside of us, let's be honest, no one can see. And the thing that we're facing today, the monster that we're going to look at today, is the monster of jealousy. So if you would, pray for me as I pray for you. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, and I thank you so much for giving us scripture to identify the monsters in our lives. That you've called us out, Lord, to examine our hearts over these last 4 weeks. To look at the guilt that we may carry around with us, the anger, the greed, and this morning, the jealousy. Lord, these monsters are not unbeatable. These monsters are not undefeated. Lord, they can be beat, they can be defeated, but only through you and your word, by the actions that take place, whether it's confession, forgiveness, or generosity. Lord, you have given us a way as aliens in this world to defeat these monsters in our lives. And I pray, God, that not only do we identify these monsters and the areas that they are attacking us and the areas that we're at war with them, Lord, I pray that we're bold enough to take a stand. That we're bold enough, Lord, to confess, to forgive, to give away, and to fight this ultimate monster of jealousy. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Definition of jealousy is this: an unhappy or angry feeling of wanting to have what someone else has. I'm going to read it again. An unhappy or angry feeling of wanting to have what someone else has. Now, I think as adults, none of us like to admit we're jealous. And I was thinking about it, maybe even all the way down to high school students. You know, like high school up, we don't want to admit that we're jealous of anything. Because to us, jealousy is more of a kid problem. You know, I want that toy. I want this thing. I want that. Well, you're just jealous. But all of a sudden, we become, you know, high school students or college students. We become adults, and we kind of get out in the real world. And we still kind of have those feelings that we used to have as kids, but we don't want to call it jealousy. Maybe because jealousy is a kid thing, or we want to excuse it as a kid thing, or maybe we just don't want to admit it, that we are actually jealous. But if we're really honest, every single one of us on some level is envious and jealous of somebody. Every single one of us. I want you to think this morning about somebody you don't like. Now, I'm not talking about somebody to hurt you. I'm not talking about someone that maybe you have justifiable, you know, a grievance against. I'm talking about that person you don't like, but you just can't put a finger on it. You know? All of us have that person. I just don't like them. Well, why not? I don't know. There's something about them. Like, there's something about him. There's something about her. Like, there's something about them. I just don't like them. Well, why not? Are they better looking than you? Better shape than you? More successful than you? Do they have a nicer home than you? A nicer car than you? Do they go on better vacations than you? Do they have a portray a better marriage than you? Or they have more behaved kids than you? I mean, there's something about them, if we're really honest, that irks us. And we can't put our finger on it. But if we really peel everything back, the thing that we would ultimately put our finger on is this. We're jealous of them. We're jealous of their success. We're jealous of the way they look. We're jealous of the way they act. We're jealous of what they have. We're jealous of their opportunities. We're jealous and envious in some way. Now, we like to make excuses. We like to say, well, I'm not jealous, right? I just don't like them because they're too nice. Right? You ever said that? You ever thought that? Well, they're just too nice. Nobody's that nice. Right? They're faking it. There's something like, oh, they have to be faking it because they're so nice. Or you know what? They're too pretty. They're too handsome. Like, they're just plastic. They're just fake. All they care about is their looks. Or you see somebody that has money and they buy something nice. Oh, well, if I had that much money, I wouldn't do it. I would do something totally different, right? No, you wouldn't. You don't know until you had that amount of money, right? But it's like we become so critical of the way they act. They're too nice. They're too pretty. They're too handsome. They have too much money. They're spending it this way. We become so critical of how they live their lives. Why? Because we don't have their lives. Or the excuse that we use is it's not fair. It's just not fair. It's not fair that he got the promotion and I didn't. It's not fair that their marriage looks perfect and ours is all rocky. It's not fair that they go out to eat and they're sitting there all nice and all the kids are behaving and my kids are going nuts and crawling on their table. It's not fair that, and we fill in the blank. But here's the truth. I don't think we really want fair. Because if you just took our country and you made everybody fair, my guess is most of us in this room, if not all of us, would take a step back, because that would be fair. So the honest truth is, we don't want fairness. We want more. I just want more. I don't want life to be fair. I want what they have. I want what they're doing. I want all of these things. I just want more. And so there we have it. We have this awful feeling inside of us. We don't like this person. We don't want to be around this person. There's something about that person that's a trigger for us. What they buy, how they look, what they do, the promotion they get, the raise they get, the kids they have, the marriage they have, whatever it may be. There's that awful feeling inside of us, and we don't want to admit it's jealousy. And so we try to excuse it away. Well, it must be this, it must be that, we're there this, and we try to justify why we feel that way. But if we're really honest, we're just jealous. And the thing is, even if we had what they have, it wouldn't change a thing. Even if we had their looks and their smarts and their jobs and their promotion and their family and all of these things, it would not change anything. And how do we know this? Because jealousy is not a circumstance issue. Jealousy is not about circumstances. Jealousy is a heart issue. Your circumstances will change and you will still be jealous, because there are still people who have more. I know this. I'm not immune to this, right? I mean, as a pastor, I think every pastor struggles with this. It's like we see churches that are bigger, or they're doing more things, and they have this, and they're doing that, and we want that for our own church. And we try to write it off as like, no, we just want our church to make more of an impact. No. Pastors are like egomaniacs. Like, we want more people because that justifies how good of a pastor we are, right? Like, we want the church filled. We want to be able to do all these things because to us it makes us feel better. So this is not me preaching to you. This is me preaching to myself. Because in the 23, 24 years that I've been a pastor, that has been my thing. Like, very little in life am I jealous of. Except when I really boil it down, it's those churches. Oh, it's that pastor. Well, their church is just bigger because, maybe their church is just bigger because they're better, right? Maybe they're a better pastor, they're a better preacher. Maybe it just boils down to that. But I want to write up all these things. So I don't want you to feel like this is me pointing a finger at anybody. This is, I live in this world too. We are all jealous. We are all battle this thing, that this envy inside of our hearts. And the thing that the enemy wants us to believe is that jealousy is a people issue. That it only has to do with people. That you're my problem and I'm your problem, right? I mean, that's what jealousy says. Well, if they had this, or I had this, or they this, they that, those people, he, her, whatever. But it's not a people issue. And I know it's not a people issue because of this. Because for people who are jealous, the one thing that makes you feel better is what? When that other person that you're jealous of all of a sudden doesn't have what you're jealous of. Right? They can't solve our problems. The only way our problems get a little bit better is when they get dropped down a notch. Oh, did they wreck their new car? Oh, I hate that for them. Did you see her at the beach this summer? She looked a little different than she looked last summer. Right? Oh, their kids got into trouble. I hate to hear that for them. Right? I mean, that's us. It's like our words say, oh, I'm sorry, but what's our heart say? Yes. Like, we're just like, it serves them right. Right? I mean, that's it. It's like, that's what goes on. It's like we say one thing, but let's be honest. That's how we feel on the inside. It's just like, good. Now they're back down to my level. Right? But that's the problem. The people that surface up jealousy and envy inside of our hearts, they cannot solve your problem or my problem of jealousy. They just can't. Because jealousy is not a circumstance problem. Jealousy is a heart problem. Jealousy is not a people problem. It goes much deeper than that. last week, we weren't here on Sunday. We had fall break. My kids had fall break at school. And so the family and I took the magical journey down to Disney World. And we went to Disney for a few days and spent some time down there. And it's the first time we've been down there in several years. And we went down and had a great vacation and a great time. But one of the things that we did on this trip, and we did it last time, and it seemed to work out pretty well for our three kids. And I'm not saying every family has to do this. It just worked for us because I didn't want to have the kids coming and begging me for everything. We sat the kids down and we said, all right, we're going to give you some money. This is going to be your money to spend at Disney. You can buy whatever you want to buy with it. You can buy food with it. You can buy souvenirs with it. But this is it. And once this money is gone, do not ask me for another penny. Like, this is it. Like, you're going to learn to make. Like, this is our gift to you. You take this, you buy that. Now, what if we got down to Disney and we got down there last Friday or when it was, and we got to the place we were staying? And all of a sudden, we walked up to our three kids, and I handed Jacob, Maria, and Josh three envelopes each. One envelope each, three envelopes. I said, here's the money that you're getting. And Maria rips hers open. She's all excited. There's a $100 bill inside. She's like, yes, I get to buy $100 worth of Disney junk. Like, yes, this is great, right? Like, this is what I'm going to do. And then, of course, the boys are all excited, and they're like, yes, we get. So Josh, you know, he rips his open. He pulls out a $50 bill. Well, Maria got more than I got. But at least I got 50. Well, Jacob's like, well, how much did I get? Jacob rips open his, and he pulls out a $5 bill. Now, what if that would have happened? Maria has 100, Josh has 50, Jacob has 5. You don't think they're in a fight going on, right? But who do they have a problem with? Me. They don't have a problem with each other. What do you think the other two are saying that didn't get the $100? Dad, why didn't you give us $100? You gave Maria $100. So they have a problem with me. Because jealousy is not a people issue. Jealousy is a God issue. Because guilt says, I owe you. Anger says, you owe me. Greed says, I owe me. And jealousy says, God owes me. We really don't have a problem with the people around us that have more than we do. What we have a problem with is a God that can control what we get, and he doesn't give us what we feel like we deserve. Jealousy says, God owes me. God owes me a different body. God owes me a different IQ. God owes me a different family. God owes me a different job. God owes me a promotion. God owes me more money. God owes me fill in the blank. That's what jealousy is about. It's not about the people that have what you don't have and what you want, because they can't control that. The one person that can is God. And God, you owe me. Because God could have fill in the blank. God could have saved my marriage. God could have allowed us to get pregnant. God could have given me more skills to get a better job or to do better in school. God could have whatever it is. Whatever it is that you want from someone else, we feel like God could have given us that. And so what it boils down to is God's not fair. God didn't give me what I feel like I deserve, so God's not fair. But I don't know if I've ever read in the scriptures that God is what we call fair. In fact, if we look, I'm going to throw up a couple of verses real quick. Daniel, book of Daniel, Old Testament, chapter 4. This is King Nebuchadnezzar. This guy was he's a false prophet. He's a false king. He doesn't believe in God at all. And even he recognizes this in verse 35. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He, talking about God, he does as he pleases. With the powers of heaven and the peoples of earth, no one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? This is a pagan king, and even he realizes God is God and we aren't. Book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 12. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Even in the New Testament, there's several verses where Paul talks about the distribution of gifts. Some are given the gift of teaching. Some are given the gift of this or the gift of that and the gift of, you know, they're not equal. They're all different. Paul even goes in and describes the human body, and he says some people are like this and some people are like that, and when they all come together, it's the body, and how can the ear say to the hand say to the foot, and blah, blah, blah. Because he understands that there's things that are more important, right? But we're all given something. God doesn't say, I'm going to give everybody the same thing, or I'm going to give everything fairly. God says, I am God, and you aren't. And I will decide what's best for you. Because I know you better than you know yourself. So we have this jealousy issue, though, because we feel like God has ripped us off. But here's the thing that we can learn from Scripture, is that when we have jealousy and envy in our hearts, it is impossible for love to live in our hearts. Jealousy and love cannot occupy the same space. It's impossible. If you've ever been to a wedding, and maybe you had this passage read at your wedding, you know this. We see this in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not what? Envy. You cannot have love and envy in the same space. It is impossible. And as long as we carry around jealousy, as long as we carry around love, we cannot, as long as we carry around jealousy and envy, we cannot have love. I can't love what other churches are doing. I can't love what other pastors are teaching. I can't love their church if I'm jealous of their church. I can't love them as pastors if I'm jealous of them as pastors. Does that make sense? That's it. It says right there. 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil. Remember what I said earlier? Oh, they wrecked their car? Darn. What do you think that is? It's rejoicing in evil. In our hearts, we may not verbally say it, but when we're happy in our hearts that someone that we're jealous of gets knocked down a rung, that is it right there. It does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, always loves, always perseveres. Love never fails. So how do we do it? What's the silver bullet? If we're really going to kill this jealousy monster in our life, what do we have to do? The very first thing that we have to do is we have to embrace the jealous truth that we are jealous people. You may not be jealous of everybody. You may not be jealous of everything. But I guarantee you, there is somebody, something in your life that you want more of. And if you're really honest, you're angry at God. You're mad at God because you don't feel like it's fair that they have this, they got this, and you didn't. Because jealousy is a God issue. Jealousy says God owes me. And we've got to be honest. And I think what that means is we get on our knees and we say, God, I'm not real happy with you right now. That God, I feel like you ripped me off. That God, I feel like I deserve this, that I've worked hard for this. Like, this is what I've been doing, and maybe we go through things in our mind, like, I went to college for this, and I worked hard for this, and I worked this many hours for this, and I poured all this stuff into my family, and I did this, and I volunteered at church, and I've gone on mission trips, and I've gone to Bible studies, and I've done blah, blah, whatever you want it is. We just let him have it. And you might say, well, Mike, is God, can he handle that? Yes. It's the truth. Is it biblical to do that? Yes. Go to read Psalms. Half of Psalms is David letting God know that he's not real happy with him right now. It's biblical. God understands this. It's like when you have a kid. If you have kids, you understand this. Sometimes they're angry or mopey or they're whatever they are for some reason, and you don't know why. And all you want to extract from them is why. Not that you're going to be able to heal it. Not that even what they're going to say is even justified. You just want them to get it out. So you're like, please just tell me what's wrong with you. Is that not our Father in heaven? Do you don't think God does that with us? Just tell me what's wrong. Don't walk into church with this smiley face and this happy attitude and make everybody think that life is great for you. Come to me. Tell me what's wrong. Tell me what's making you mad at me. Tell me what's making you aggravated with me. If I feel like I can change it, I'll change it. But I may tell you, grow up. Deal with it. I don't know what he's going to say. But it starts with embracing the jealous truth. It starts with the fact of embracing the fact that we are envious and jealous people. We're jealous of their job. We're jealous of their promotion. We're jealous of their family. We're jealous of their health. We're jealous of whatever it may be. We have to embrace the jealous truth. The second thing we have to do, we have to confess our jealousy to somebody. It may be a counselor, pastor, somebody that you feel I can be honest with this person and they're not going to judge me. And I can sit down with them and say, you know what? I'm really jealous of them. This is what I feel like God owes me. And I don't have it. And I don't know why God hasn't given this to me. But I see this person and they're a reminder of all the things that I want and I don't have it. And I know it's not their fault. And I know I'm cold to them and I'm hard to them. And I don't want to be. But I'm jealous. It is amazing what will happen, how therapeutic it is just to be able to speak that out into existence, to be able to call it what it is. I'm jealous. And maybe you owe that person an apology that you're jealous of. Maybe at some point in your life, God's going to lead you to that person to say, you know what? I know at times I'm hard on you or I'm cold to you or I want to ignore you, but I got to be honest with you. I'm just jealous. You have it all. You have the perfect marriage, the perfect house, the perfect job. I'm sorry. I'm just jealous of you. And you know what you're probably going to hear? You're going to hear, first of all, shock. Like, you're jealous of me? I'm jealous of you. And they're like, my life's not perfect. My marriage isn't perfect. My kids aren't perfect. Like, I have this new position at this job, but I would much rather have my old one because it's a nightmare now. And you're like, wow. You know, to be able to go to that person and say, it's not you, it's me. Truly, it's not you, it's me. The silver bullet to kill jealousy. First, we have to recognize the jealous truth. The second thing we have to do is we have to confess it to somebody. And the third thing, and this is going to, just stick with me on this. You got to celebrate the people you're jealous of. You got to celebrate the people that you're jealous of. Now, when I say that, even as I wrote that down this week, I thought, well, that seems a little disingenuous, right? Like, aren't we supposed to be real? Aren't we supposed to be honest? And if I'm congratulating them on getting a promotion for a job that I wanted, and I'm jealous of that, isn't that disingenuous? No. Because it's not their fault. Maybe they had a better idea than you had. Maybe they had more experience than you had. Maybe their marriage is better because they've been a better spouse than you are. Maybe their kids behave better because they're a better parent than you are. Maybe there's things that's going on in their life that you have no idea about. But you can look at them and say, you know what? That really was a good thing. Congratulations. You earned it. For me, and this is going to sound silly, but it's the only illustration I could really think of this morning. But like for me, I am so competitive. Like, I hate losing more than I like winning. Like, I am so competitive. I compete in everything, and I want to win in everything. And so if I'm out on some type of athletic field, if I'm doing something, I just want to win. And so for years, what would happen is I'd be competing against somebody, and as they were beating me, and I got beat a lot, I've been beat more than I've won, I would get so angry inside and so mad because I was so competitive, I didn't want to lose. And the thing that solved that for me was when I realized maybe they're just better. And I started congratulating them. Hey, man, good shot. That was a good play. That was really good. And all of a sudden, as I say those things, I'm not angry anymore. The competitive juices are still there. I still want to win. But I realize the problem's not them. Maybe the problem's me. I'm just not that good. And that's okay. And like I said, I know that's silly illustration, but that's it. They're not doing anything wrong. But I think there's things in our life that if we look at the people who we're jealous of, we can find something and congratulate them for. So we got to be real about the jealous truth. We have to confess our jealousy to somebody. And the people that we're jealous of, we got to start celebrating what we're jealous of in their lives. Man, that was a good idea. And that was a great shot. Man, you hit that perfectly. Man, you did so good on that test. Man, you hit that note, and that was great. Like, whatever it may be, celebrate who they are, celebrate what they did, because they're doing the best that they can do. And instead of us being jealous or envious of that, why don't we speak life into that and encouragement into that? Jealousy is a heart issue. Guilt is a heart issue. Anger is a heart issue. And greed is a heart issue. These are all monsters that attack our hearts. They're not circumstantial. They're not things that are out. They're there. And I got a friend of mine, he has this little saying, and I love it. He's like, Satan will custom make your failures. And what I believe about that is this: these monsters will custom make what they go to war at you with. You're a jealous person, what's he going to do? The enemy's going to keep throwing up things that make you jealous. You naturally feel guilty, what's he going to do? He's going to keep reminding you of the past and all the things that you carry around with you. You're naturally an angry person, your own edge. You walk around with constantly in a low boil. What's he going to do? He's going to put things in your path that make you even angrier. You're a greedy person, what's he going to do? He's going to put things in your life that's going to make you want that thing even more, and you'll do whatever it takes to get that thing. Guilt, anger, greed, and jealousy are all heart issues. And so I ask you this morning, how is your heart? How is it? Maybe you're going to walk out of here this morning and you're going to be like, you know what? I'm four for the good. I'm not angry. I don't feel guilty. I'm not greedy. I'm not a jealous person. Praise God. You're preaching next week. All right? But if we're really honest, we're probably 4 for 4 on the other side, aren't we? Man, you know what, Mike? Every day I feel guilty about something. Every day I'm angry about something. Every day I'm greedy and I want more of this. And every day I'm jealous. I see what they have and I want it, and God's not been fair to me. I get it. That's me. I'm 4 for 4 every day of my life. But it's a heart issue. But the beautiful thing about God, the beautiful thing about the scriptures, is he didn't just say, hey, here's 4 monsters that are going to attack your heart. Have at it. Figure it out where you go. God said, you're going to have monsters. You're going to have attack. There's going to be war against your soul. But here's your weapons. Here are your weapons. You want to defeat the guilt monster? Confess. You want to defeat anger? Forgive. You want to defeat greed? Be generous. And if you want to defeat jealousy, you got to recognize that you're jealous. You got to let it go, and you got to celebrate the person that has what you don't. That's it. He has given us the weapons to defeat the monsters in our life. We have to be honest with ourselves and admit that our heart is at war. And right now, for some of us, we're losing. Let that be your prayer this morning. That God, I'm tired of losing. I'm tired of feeling the way that I feel. I'm tired of the jealousy that lives in my heart. I'm tired of the greed. I'm tired of the anger. I'm tired of the guilt. God, take my heart and have it all. Just have it all. Let's pray. Lord, this morning we just give you our heart. The the heart that is wounded, the heart that is constantly being attacked, whether by guilt or anger or greed or jealousy. That four-headed monster that attacks our lives every single day. Lord, you have given us the weapons. Now, God, give us the strength and the power to pick up those weapons and do as we are commanded. To attack the way that you have called us to attack, to fight back the way you have called us to fight back. If we need to confess, let us confess. If we need to forgive, let us forgive. If we need to give, let us give. And God, if we need to celebrate someone else that has what we want, let us celebrate. And let us realize that you are God and we are not. We trust you with our heart. We trust you with our lives. We give it all to you. Lord, we pray all these things in your kind and forgiving name.